building on Sadiq Bey's, Umud Bey's second line from the bottom. We started talking about Pesach Sheni, and we mentioned a machloket. Now, like this, the Mishnah tells us, based on the pasuk, that a person who was tomei on Pesach Rishon or was on a derech rechoka, on a faraway journey, which we're going to see in the next Mishnah, what the definition of that is, then they make Pesach Sheni. Now, the question is, a tomei, we know that they don't have the option of making Pesach Rishon, even, for example, if they send it with a shliach, depending what kind of tomei, as we've discussed before and as we're going to discuss soon. So the question is, what about a derech rechoka? A person is far away from Yerushalayim, but he could make it there, let's say, in time for the eating of the korban, or maybe even he could make it in time for the shechting, but by that time he expects the korban to have been shechted already. Can he appoint a shliach? Can he appoint a shliach to do the korban, to bring the korban Pesach for him and be yotze? So he's not tomei, right? So Rav Nachman says yes. Rav Sheshet says no, because Rav Nachman says yeah, the Torah gives him the option of Pesach Sheni, but if he manages to get in by Pesach Rishon by appointing somebody to do it for him, then fine, tovei ala bracha. And Rav Sheshet says that no. So we discussed some possible proofs for it. The Mishnah uses the expression that if he was b'derech rechoka, the loy osa sevishin. If he didn't make the first Pesach, yaseh hasheni, then he makes the second one. So that seems to imply that he has the option to make the first one if he's able to. But Rav Sheshet points out that evidently the Mishnah is missing a couple of cases because the Mishnah didn't mention mezid. The Mishnah didn't mention onin. So what it would be is, so Rav Sheshet would say in both of those cases, mezid or oinin, which is also a type of mezid because he didn't bring the korban Pesach because of his grief, either way. So we're saying he had the option to bring Pesach Rishon. He chose not to. Okay, yaseh hasheni, and then we're going to get into the discussion soon about what happens as far as kores. But not necessarily to say that would apply to the one who was on derech rechoka. Rav Nachman would say, yeah, I agree that applies to Mezid, but not necessarily does that apply to Derech Rechoka. Okay. In fact, there's a note in Rashi at the bottom of the Amud, which apparently was only in some editions of Rashi that the printers had in front of them, that Rashi wonders, or if Nachman should point out, the next Mishnah is going to tell us, the continuation of our Mishnah says, why does it say Tomei or Bederech Rechoka is to stress that these are Potter from Kores and these are Chayev and these are Chayev and Kores. So the very fact that it has to say Loma Nema, why does it say the Derech Rechoka among all the other cases of Shogig and Onus and whatever, on the face of it, that shows that he has the option to do that. Because according to Rav Sheshet, there is a chiddush in it, namely that he can't do it at all. So that would seem to be a proof for Rav Nachman. But Rav Nachman doesn't bring that as a proof in the Gemara. Okay, so Amar Rav Sheshet, Manah Minallah. Rav Sheshet says, where do I get my opinion from? That this guy who was on a derech rechoka, even if he wants to send somebody to bring the korban on his behalf, it won't work. Netanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nema Tomei v'Nema b'Derech Rechoka. The Pasuk mentions the Tomei, the Pasuk mentions the one who was on a Derech Rechoka. Ma Tomei, therefore that means there's a hekesh between them. Ma Tomei she sipik v'yodilasis. Ma doch, not ma mami. Just like the Tomei has the ability to bring the Korban Pesach, meaning, in other words, Rashi says he has the ability, were it not for the fact that Torah prevents him. The fact is, he's right here in Yerushalayim, he's right here by the Azara, he's able to go in, but the Torah tells him not to, and the Torah tells him he can't even send it with a shliach. So, the Enit is saying, yet he's not making the Korban Pesach, because the Torah tells him not. After Derech Rechoka Nami, specifically on the last Sfeina. So the same thing with Derech Rechoka also has to be that he could bring it if he wanted to, but the Torah prevents him from doing that. No, but that's the thing. Rav Sheshet is saying that if he's on Derech Rechoka, and therefore that means he's far away enough that he can't make it there before the time of the Shechita is over, then that's it. He can't have the korban brought on his behalf either. He has to bring Pesach Sheni. We're going to learn in the next Mishnah, we're going to learn a machloikas about what Derech Rechoka is. We're also going to discuss over there a machloikas of what if he can't. We're going to have a machloikas there, Ula and Rabbi Yehuda. What happens if he can't make it by the time of the shechita, but he can make it by the time of the eating of the korban Pesach? Is that good enough? So actually, Tosfos points out over here that at least Rav Nachman over here, who's saying that he's Yotze, he could conceivably hold like Rav Yehuda. That Rav Yehuda says as long as he can get there before the eating, or actually Rav Yehuda, even though Rav Yehuda says that he's so far away, that Derech HaChoyka is when he's so far away that he can't even make it there in time for the eating, but nevertheless, if he would race there, if he would, like, as the Gemara is going to discuss later, get, like, for example, a fast horse or something and race there, he could make it in time. Therefore, Rav Nachman saying that's good enough. Whereas Rav Sheshes would be saying that no, as long as he can't make it there in time, then no, you can't be Yotze the Korban either. Okay, as long as he can't make it there at a normal pace, that is. Okay. Yeah. But before the Shkita, yeah. Okay. So we see that the Braisa, compares the Tomei and the Derech HaChoyka. Both of them would have the ability to bring the Korban, and both of them, the Torah is preventing them. So you see, therefore, Rav Sheshes says, that's where I say, therefore, that the Derech HaChoyka can't have the Korban brought on his behalf. Exactly. He's just part of the group, but nevertheless, it's being brought on his behalf. But since he's on Derech HaChoyka, then yeah. Tosfos, by the way, has a different gears over here, not that the Tomei ain't sipik b'yadei la'asis, that he doesn't have the ability to bring it, because after all, he's Tomei. The same way, the Derech HaChoyka means ain't sipik b'yadei la'asis. He's so far away that he won't be able to get there in time for whatever it is, in time for the Shchita, according to Ullah, or in time for the eating, according to Rav Yehuda. Okay. Anyway, so Rav Nachman, what does Rav Nachman answer to that? Amaloch, he can tell you, Rav Akiva l'taymei. No, Rav Akiva, this is Rai says Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva is going according to his svara, the kasava ain't sheret and bezerkin, al tamei sheret. He says, as we learned the machlokas of Rav and Ullah in the previous perek, about whether you can shech the Korban Pesach and sprinkle the blood for somebody who's only a Tomei Sheretz, if he hasn't toivled yet, where, in other words, all he needs to do is toivel and he'll be toher that evening, so Rav Akiva would hold that you can't do that. Rav Nachman says, I would hold like the opinion of Ullah over there that says that you could. So therefore, this braisa is not a contradiction to me. Now, where exactly do we see Rav Akiva saying such a thing? Tosfos says, on the face of it, before we said, when we discussed this question, we said that one way we learned it was by analyzing the case of the people who came to Moshe and said that they're Tomei, where they said it's the last day of our Toma, why can't we bring the Korban Pesach? And nevertheless, that's the fact. The fact is that they do go and have to bring Pesach Sheni instead. According to Tosfos over there, we said that it's only because they didn't Tovel yet, and Moshe is telling them, if you don't Tovel, you're going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. According to the Rambam, as we said, that doesn't matter whether they Tovel or not. Either way, on the seventh day, they can't. But in any case, Rav Akiva disagrees with Rav Yitzchak's analysis of what happened over there. So according to him, where do you have a source for it? So different Achronim talk about different possibilities where we might see that Rav Akiva says this. One interesting one in the back of the Gemara, the Mitzvah Eisan, points out that you have a Sifri like this. Now we always say that in this week's parasha it starts describing the Miluim of the Mishkan. So we usually learn from when we were kids that they started on Chof Gimel Adar, and then the eighth day was Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and that's when Aaron and his sons started serving as Kohenim. That's when Nadav and Avihu passed away, etc. Now that's 2 weeks before Pesach. There is an opinion, I think in Sifri, from Rabbi Akiva, that actually the Miluim began on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and the eighth day of them was actually Ches Nissan. So according to that, then it comes out, when did Nadav and Avihu pass away? Ches Nissan. So then you could have Mishal and Al-Safon, the ones who carried them out over there and buried them, became Tomei, and Yud-Dal Nissen is their seventh day. So Rav Akiva would be disagreeing with Rav Yitzchak as far as the timing of things, because he would say if it was according to you, then they would already have a chance to become Tahar long before Pesach. But if we say like that, then there is a source, Rav Akiva is saying, that it was the seventh day of their Tumah, and yet we see that they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, they would have to bring Pesach. So again, according to Tosfos, they could still go to the mikveh and still have a chance. According to the Rambam, they couldn't. But the point is, we see from that somebody who still has yet to go to the mikveh, namely a Tmei Sheretz, can't bring the Korban Pesach. So Rav Akiva would hold that way, but Rav Nachman says, I would hold like other Tanoim and like Ullah that we said before, who says that you could. So therefore, this Braisa is not a contradiction to me. Okay. in this, in general, we have when you have a machlokas in Isur Veheter between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, the halacha is generally like Rav Sheshes, and that's how it is over here. So this person does not get to have the Korban Pesach brought on his behalf, even though if he can't make it there in time by the end of the Shchita, even if he has somebody else do it for him.
Where does Ula take it?
Ula takes it from, because we're saying Rabbi Akiva says this, but you have different opinions over there about why these people were not able to bring the Korban Pesach, and that will affect the question of whether they were in fact in the middle of their days of Tumah, and therefore that would mean such people can't have the Korban Pesach brought, but a Tomei Sheretz or somebody on the seventh day of his days being sprinkled with Torah Adam water could, or not.
But for those who say you cannot, they have a source in the Torah. Those who say you can...
No, one second. Everybody has their source in the Torah, but the Torah just tells them that these people... The Torah just tells us these people were Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam. Why were they Tomei? When did they become Tomei? How close to Pesach did they become Tomei? That the Torah doesn't specify. Those you have different opinions. So Rabbi Yitzchak in the Gemara that we learned the other day... will say that it was some Tmeim where the seventh day came out on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara in Sukkah disagrees with that and says that not. But again, the Mitzvah Eisan says maybe Rabbi Akiva would agree with the basic concept. He just says the timing is off. You, Rabbi Yitzchak, hold, like everybody else does, that the Miluim ended on Aleph Nissen. And in that case, from then until Pesach, there's plenty of time for these people to become Tahor. And there's other opinions. There were the people who were carrying Yosef's bones and so forth. So you have, there's room for different opinions about whether these people could have finished becoming Tahor that day. And bring the Korban Pesach or not.
Can't you infer from the fact that the Torah doesn't mention that specific point that it would not be allowed?
No, that's the point. You can't infer that. The Torah is telling us that they were Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam without specifying. Sakeut, we said the other day, Rabbi Yitzchak had said that the very fact that the Torah doesn't specify means that it would apply no matter what day of the Tumah it was, whether it was the first day or the seventh day, and therefore that would also affect the Tumah Sheretz. But others would say that no. It only applies, we said the other day, Ula would say that it only applies when the fact is he's Tumah only today. By night already he'll be Tahor, so there's no reason you shouldn't be able to shech the Korban for him. We discussed that the other day. We had a sugya.
We discussed it
in the light of the Mishnah. We had a Mishnah over there, which we said could be understood according to Rav or according to Ula. So they both have a source for their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go on. Tana Rabbanan. Elu she'osin es hasheni. The following people make Pesach sheni. Hazovin v'hazovos, hamitzaroyin v'hamitzarois, v'nidos, u'boilen nidos, men who had relations with a nida, where the man is also tummy for 7 days. V'hayodos, and a woman who gave birth. All of these, Rashi points out, they're all a tuma arucha. They're all of them, they have a long tuma that lasts for more than 1 day. The tummy, also, Hashoygin v'Hanus and v'Hamazidin. Also, people who didn't bring the Pesach Rishon because of Shoygig, as we said, that they forgot that it was Erev Pesach. Let's say v'Hanusin, or if they were onus, for example, they fell sick all of a sudden, or v'Hamazidin, or they deliberately didn't bring the Pesach. The Tomei v'Shoyev v'Derech Achayva. So all of those bring Pesach Sheni. Im Kain Lama Nema Tomei. So if so, the Braiser says, if you have all of these exceptions, then why does it say Tomei specifically? So the Gemara says, what do you mean Lama Nema? What do you mean, why does it say? The reason is because we need to be told that even if he wants to make the Korban Pesach, he's not going to be able to. In other words, he can't send it. He can't send it with a shliach. So that's why it has to say Tomei. Ella, no. What the Braisa means is Mkein Lama Nema B'Derech Rechoika. So if so, why does it have to specifically mention Derech Rechoika out of all of the various kinds of cases where a person can't bring? If it was to tell us that he's not allowed to, even if he wants to, well, he's on a Derech Rechoika, he can't anyway. If you're going to say that it means relating to the Machlokas of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes that we just had, we'd say the Braisa hold like Rav Sheshes. Can't. Actually, we're going to say in a second that this Braisa holds like Rav Nachman, that you could. And that's the point, in other words, because if, according to Rav Sheshes, there would be a chiddush in mentioning Derech HaChoyka, precisely that point, that even if he wants to, he can't send it with a shliach. According to Rav Nachman, though, there's no chiddush in it, so therefore the Braisa is asking, why mention him? And the answer is, well, poter him in a koris. The answer is to pater him from koris, uchmanda amahurza. So our Braisa would be, this Braisa that we just quoted, would be like Rav Nachman. That even, no, that, that, So the fact that he's on Derech HaChoyka, he is still able to bring the korban. So the pasuk is not mentioning Derech HaChoyka, as Rav Nachman had said, to tell us that he's not allowed to bring the korban. He could have the korban brought if he wants by having somebody else bring it on his behalf. The point of mentioning Derech HaChoyka specifically, so we said in the Mishnah actually that we said in the Mishnah she'elu p'turin mehikoris ve'elu chayovin mehikoris. So according to Rashi, what we meant was of the various cases we just mentioned, most of them are potter from kores if they don't bring Pesach Sheni, as we're going to discuss soon. Now we're going to start discussing soon the question of what a person is and isn't chayav kores for. So as opposed to, for example, the Mezid, where he can bring Pesach Sheni, but he's Chayav Kares, if he's Chayav Kares for failing to bring the Rishon. As we're going to discuss now the details of what exactly he is and isn't Chayav Kares for. But according to the Rambam, the vote is the Tomei and the Derech HaChoyka specifically are potter from Kares if they don't end up bringing Pesach Sheni, whereas all the other ones are going to be Chayav Kares, even though they were Shogeg, they were Onus, they were whatever, but the fact of the matter is they still have to be careful to bring Pesach Sheni, and if they don't, then yeah. Okay. So first the Gemara asks, before we get into the question of who is Chayev Kores and who isn't, the question is, Isha B'Sheni V'Mechayva? We're mentioning in this Braisa several cases of women, a Nida, a Zava, a Yeledes, a Metzeras. So are women actually Chayev in Pesach Sheni such that if they don't, then they can be Chayev Kores? You would think, since the pasuk only mentions the tamei and the one who was tamei mes and the one who was on a far journey, so you would think maybe those are the only ones who make pesach sheni. Zavin or mitzrayim or berlin nidus minayin. How do we know also zavim and mitzrayim and berlin nidus? Now you notice this last braisa only mentions the men, unlike the previous one, which also mentioned the zavois and the nidois and then so forth. Here it mentions only the men. Therefore the pasuk says any man. So then on the face of it, so according to this braisa, women are potter from Pesach Sheni. The answer is like Kasha, Harab Yosi, Harab Yehuda, Rab Shimon. We had a couple of days ago the three-way machloikas about what happens with the women with Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. We had Rab Yosi saying that women are chayev in Pesach Rishon and in Pesach Sheni, and therefore he said that you could even have a group of exclusively women for Pesach Sheni, even if it comes out on Shabbos. Rab Yehuda had said that Pesach Rishon the women can be alone, but Pesach Sheni they have to be joined with a group of men. And Rab Shimon had said, because he holds that it's only a reshus for them, this Pesach Sheni, right? And then we had Reb Shimon saying that even Pesach Rishon is only a reshus for them, and only because of an extra word in the pasuk, nefashos, are they even allowed to eat from the korban, are they even allowed to eat from the Pesach Rishon? And the second one, there's no such pasuk, so therefore they're not allowed to eat from it at all. So therefore, our braisa over here. So the first braisa that mentioned the women, that mentioned the zavos and the mitzarois and the yoldos and so forth, is according to Rabbi Yossi. So according to him, the women are chayev in Pesach Sheni as well. And therefore, if they fail to bring it, then there can be kares involved, as we're going to start discussing now what a person is chayev kares for missing Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni or both. Harav Yehuda Rav Shimon. The other braisa is according to Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, who say that Pesach Sheni is reshus, or actually technically Rav Shimon says that according to Rav Shimon, they're not even allowed to join in it. But whatever, the point is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're allowed to join in it, but it's only Rishus. The Rabbi Hananel actually has a bit of a different view over here that avoids that problem. But the point is, anyway, you have different opinions about whether women are chayiv in Pesach Sheni. So therefore, so that these three opinions will accommodate those two braises. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, Chayev Kores al Rishon v'Chayev Kores al Sheni Divrei Reb. Rebbe says a person, there's a Chiyuv Kores for the first for missing the Pesach Rishon, and there's a Chiyuv Kores for missing Pesach Sheni. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, obviously it doesn't mean that he can be Chayev Kores twice, because a person can only be Chayev Kores once, he only has one life. It can't mean that he has to bring two chatois, usually something that a person is chayav kares for. If he does b'shoigiv, he has to bring a chatos, but that only applies to lavim that have kares attached to them. Pesach and milah are mitzvahs asay that have kares attached to them, and you don't bring a chatos for such thing. So you fail to bring the korban pesach, you don't bring a chatos for it, even though they have kares involved. No, that loy sechal of chametz just means there's an iser to eat chametz, but bringing the korban pesach is a mitzvahs asay. There's lavim involved with the carbon pesach, but failing to bring the carbon pesach itself is not a lav. There's no lav that says in the Torah, don't fail to bring the carbon pesach or something like that. So there's only an essa, and therefore, and an essa that has kares, you don't bring a chatas. So therefore, Rashi says, what we mean, in other words, is when Rebbe says there's kares for each one, it means if a person was shoigig on the first one and then mazed on the second one. So let's say he didn't bring the first one because he forgot. But then comes Pesach Sheni. He says, okay, I know I'm supposed to bring a korban Pesach, but I don't feel like it. Then he's chayav kares for the second one. Or vice versa. If he was mazed on the first, didn't feel like bringing it, then he said, you know what, okay, after Pesach, he thinks to himself, okay, let me do tshuva, and I'll bring Pesach Sheni. Then comes Pesach Sheni, he forgets that it's Pesach Sheni and doesn't bring it. So Rebbe would say he's chayav kares as well, because he missed the first one b'mazed. So either one that he misses b'mazed, Rebbe says he's going to be chayav kares for. Another point is also, we're going to say soon, that according to Rebbe, if a person becomes a ger between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, then Rebbe would hold, he has to bring Pesach Sheni. And if he doesn't, then he's Chayav Kares. So those are cases, so that's what we mean, that's what Rebbe means when he says there's Kares separately for each one. No. So Rebbe, that's what we're going to discuss soon, that Rebbe holds that Rebbe, the second one, is a regular pronouncement. We're going to get to that soon. Yeah. Okay. Rav Nosson Oymer Chayev Kores al Rishon Potter al Sheni. Rav Nosson says he's only Chayev Kores for the first one, not for the second one. Meaning, in other words, according to Rav Nosson, if he was shoigig, and if he missed the first one by shoigig, and the second one by mazid, Rav Nosson would say he's Potter from Kores. Rav Hanani ben Akavi says, even for the first one, he's only Chayav Kares, Ela im kein loy osa sashen. Only if he didn't make the second one at all. In other words, Rav Hanani ben Akavi would say that even if he was mazed on the first one, when does he become Chayav Kares? Only if he was also mazed on the second one. But if he wasn't mazed, if he brought the second one, or if he was shoigig on the second one, then he's Potter. Okay. So for Ozdu the Taimayu, so the Gemara says they go according to their respective svaras, these three Tanoim. The Tanya, because we learn in a Braise, Gershon is Gayer ben Shnei Psochim, a Ger who becomes a Ger between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, v'chein Kotten Shehigdol ben Shnei Psochim, the same way a Kotten who became a Godol, who grew Shtei Cyrus between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, Chayev Lasas Pesach Sheni Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe would say he's Chayev to bring Pesach Sheni, and the logic is, again, because we're saying that Rebbe considers the second Pesach Sheni, he considers as something independent of Pesach Rishon, and therefore he has a separate Chiyuv. So now he's a gadol, and now he's a yid. He has to bring it. Rav Nosson, I'm a cautious zokok l'rishon zokok l'sheni. Rav Nosson says anybody who was required to bring the first one is required to bring the second one. Kosha ain't zokok l'rishon, ain't zokok l'sheni. Anybody who was not chayev in the first one is not chayev in the second one. So this cotton shehidbil, though this gershon is gayer, was not chayev in Pesach Rishon. Therefore, he's potter from Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, "B'mai kamitzvi." What is the underlying machlokes? So like this, Rebbe Sava Sheni Regel of Nehatzmehu. Rebbe holds that Pesach Sheni is considered a separate yomtiv of its own. Rav Nosson, therefore there's a separate mitzvah to do it. Rav Nosson Sava Sheni Tashlumin Derishinu. So Rav Nosson holds the Pesach Sheni is only Tashlumin, is only a makeup for Pesach Rishon. So therefore, if he wasn't chayev in the first one, he can't be chayev in the second one. But Rav Nosson holds Takuni Lurishan Lemisakin, right? But Rav Nosson holds fixing up, missing the first one, the Pesach Sheni does not accomplish that. So that's why Rav Nosson is going to say that if he was mazed on the first one, then he is going to be Chayav Kares. So Rashi says, even if he made the second one, Even if he brought the second one, appointed him nothing, the fact that he was mazed on the first one is going to be reason enough to be Mechayivim Kardes, appointed him nothing. Because it doesn't fix up the fact that he missed the first one mazed. But it is a Tashlumin, but therefore, if he wasn't Chayiv in the first one, then he's potter from the second one. Rav Chanani ben Akavya then is going to hold that that the Pesach Sheni is misakin the first one, so therefore that's why we said Rav Chanani ben Akavya said that he's only chayev kares only if he was mazed on both of them. But if he was mazed on the first and then brought the second one, or he missed the second one b'shegig, then he's fine. There are a couple of sichas and some maimorim also that discuss this point of Pesach Sheni. In particular, there's a sicha in Chelek Yud Ches where the Rebbe talks about, there's a famous expression from the Rabbeim that Pesach in Yonin is stuck in Farfalin. It's in Hayom Yom for Pesach Sheni. That Pesach Sheni is the idea that there's never a missed opportunity. You always have a chance later on. So the question is, the halacha in this machloek that's over here is like Rebbe. So therefore, according to Rebbe, it comes out that Pesach Sheni is regel b'fnatzvay. It's not tashlum and derishin. So it's easy to understand this nishtok and fafalin according to Rav Nosson or according to Rav Chanani ben Akavya. But how do we understand that according to Rebbe, who says that it's actually a regel b'fnatzvay? So the gist of the explanation that Rebbe says is precisely because Rebbe says it's regel b'fnatzvay, therefore it means a person who's bringing Pesach Sheni has the shleimus of that not only he's bringing the Korban Pesach, but he's bringing it in its proper time. According to Rav Nosson, it's sort of just like a makeup after the fact. According to Rav Chanani ben Akavya, same thing. But according to Rebbe, he has a complete shleimus in that sense of tashlumin, not only that he's bringing the Korban Pesach, but he gets to bring it at the proper time, namely for him the proper time is your Dalet Adar. And in that sense, therefore, you can say Nishtok and Fafalin. There are other places also that Rebbe talks about the idea. For example, we have a person who kept Pesach Rishon still has the Mila of Pesach Sheni as well, because everybody, regardless whether they brought a Korban Pesach or not, they didn't eat chometz during the 7 days of Pesach. They ate matzah. They did the mitzvahs of Pesach. The question is only the Korban Pesach. So the one who didn't bring Pesach Rishon, so he has the Nishtok and Fafal and Pesach Sheni, where Pesach Sheni is during Iyar, which is a month more. It's more Sarusadil Sata, the second month that comes after the Sarusa de la Eila of the first month. Meanwhile, the person who brought Pesach Rishon the first time around, he has that Mila without bringing the Korban Pesach the second time. So therefore, we don't tell him to bring a second Korban Pesach. You can't. There's only one Korban Pesach a year, but he doesn't miss out on that Shlemos either because he gets it without needing to actually bring a Korban, whereas the other guy needs to bring a Korban for it. So it works both ways, kind of, yeah. Okay. As far as Rebbe's Shitta, by the way, the Rambam has a bit of a different understanding of Rebbe's Shitta than what we're saying over here. We're saying over here that if he was mazed on either one, according to Rebbe, then he's Chayav Kares. The Rambam qualifies that and says if he does end up bringing Pesach Sheni, then that passes him from Kares. Even Rebbe is going to, the Rambam says even Rebbe would agree with that. The question is only if he was shogeg and didn't end up bringing the second one, can he be potter from Kares? And the answer is no, because he was mazed on the first one. Okay. So the Gemara says of Shloshen. Actually, the Rambam writes it differently in Sefer HaMitzvahs than he does in Yad HaChazaka. So it seems in Sefer HaMitzvahs he had one understanding of what Rebbe holds, and he changed his mind by the time he wrote Yad HaChazaka. It happens sometimes. The Rambam wrote Sefer HaMitzvahs a few years before Yad HaChazaka. So there are times when he changed his mind from one to the other. They're both written by the Rambam, I'm sure. The proper name of it is Mishnah Torah, actually. Yeah, that's the name he gave it. We call it Yad HaChazaka because it's got 14 Sforim. Yad, the Gematria 14. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Shloshen Mikra Echad Doshu. All these three Tanoim, Rebbe and Reb Nosson and Reb Chaninim and Akavya, all of them are getting their opinion from the same Pasuk. The Pasuk goes like this. Let's quote the whole Pasuk first, then we'll explain it. You have it on the side in Torah Erashalom. A person who was Tahar on Pesach Rishon, and he was not on a faraway journey, he did not, he failed to bring the Korban Pesach. The Nichras HaNefesh HaHimei Amel, that person gets Kodesh. Ki Korban Hashem Lo Hikri B'Moide. Ki, and we're going to talk about the key thing over here in the Gemara is going to be what the word ki means. So Ki Korban Hashem. Ki, the Korban of Hashem Lo Hikri B'Moide. He did not bring it at its proper time. Therefore, Cheto Yisrael Ishahu, that person bears his guilt. So now, what we have to understand is, what does the word ki mean, and what does Cheto Yisrael Ishahu mean? That's going to drive these three opinions. So, Rebbe Sovar, and so the Pasuk is V'isha Shetohu Otar V'derech L'Haya, Rebbe Sovar, so it's like this, the Pasuk is V'chada Lassus HaPesach V'nichusa, he failed to bring the Korban Pesach, then he gets Kodesh, that means Pesach Rishon, Deloy Ovid B'Rishon, so he didn't make Pesach Rishon, therefore he's Chayav Kodesh. Inami, then he says the word ki in the continuation of the Pasuk can mean if, or can mean or. We know that the word ki has four basic meanings. One of them, is, the four basic meanings are e, which means if, dilma, maybe, ella, however, and daha, because. So, Rebbe says that the ki over here is not, it's a new thing. In fact, Rashi brings examples. Like you have, for example, let's say the pasuk will say, ki kore kan tzipor l'fanecha. It doesn't mean because a nest came in front of me. It means if it should happen, then a nest comes in front of you, that you encounter a nest, then you do shiluach hakan. The same thing over here. Ki korban Hashem means inami, or also if korban Hashem lehikiv v'mayda, he did not bring Hashem's korban in its proper time, namely basheni, then he also gets Kores. And then, now, how does he know that in the first half of the Pasuk it says V'nichmasa? But how does he know that in the second half of the Pasuk, Chete Yisa Ishahu also means Kores? So that is Kasavar, it's like this. He learns like this. We know that there's a case the Torah tells us Megadif. That we know the Torah tells us in Parashat Shlach that a Megadif is Chayav Kores. So what does Megadif mean? There's two opinions about it. One is that it means somebody who curses Hashem. The Gemara always uses the word for it, Mevorech Hashem, of course, as a euphemism. Or the other possibility the Gemara mentions in Christus is that Megadif means somebody who sings in honor of Avodah Zarah. So it's not actually worshipping Avodah Zarah, but he's honoring it with his singing. So Rebbe holds Megadif Hainu Mevorech Hashem. Rebbe holds the Megadif that it mentions in Parshas Shlach, on which it says, on about whom it says that he gets Kores. That is Hainu Mevorech Hashem. That is the same as somebody who blasphemes, who curses Hashem. Uchtib Mevorech Hashem Benosach Chetoy. Now, by Mevorech Hashem, it tells us in Parshas Emor that Benosach Chetoy, and therefore V'gamar Haich Chetoy Dehocha Mechetoy Dehosem. Therefore, we have a Gzeira Shavah. We have a Gzeira Shavah from Mevorech Hashem that by him it says V'nosachetoy, so Malahalam Kores Afkan Nami Kores. So therefore, in other words, like this, we have three different things. We have it talks about Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. It talks about Megadif, and it talks about Mevorech Hashem. So Megadif is the only one of the three where the Torah clearly tells us Kores. Now, if we say that Megadif equals Mevorech Hashem, then that tells us that when it says V'nosachetoy by the Mevorech Hashem in Parshas Emor, then it means Kores. And therefore, now we can apply that by Gzeira Shavah to Pesach Sheni and say that also Cheto Yisrael Ishahu means Kores. So therefore, Rebbe says that you see the Pasuk is telling us there's Kores separately for Pesach Rishon and separately for Pesach Sheni. One because it says V'nichrasa and the other because we learn by the Gzeira Shavah. And the fact that it says in the middle of the Pasuk, ki, is not explaining, it's not saying because he didn't bring the first one, it's saying they're two separate things. He didn't bring the first one, he gets Kores. Also, if it should happen that he doesn't bring the second one, having not brought the first one for whatever reason, whether it was Rishoygig or whatever, also Chayav Kores. So that's what brings Rebbe to say that regardless, either one individually, if he was Mamezid, is Chayav Kores. Well, so in other words, Rebbe would say, like we said before, if he was mazed on the first one, then if he was mazed on the first one, then even if he brought the second one, so according to Rashi, it seems that even if he brought the second one, he would be chayiv kares. The Rambam disagrees with that point. But let's say he missed the second one b'shoigig. So Rebbe would say, nevertheless, he's chayiv kares. You could say he didn't bring the second one b'shoigig. Doesn't matter that oy but oynes or whatever. The first one was mazed. That's reason enough to be chayiv kares. Or the other way around, if he didn't bring the first one b'shoigig, and then he realizes that he has to bring the second one, and then he decides not to do that b'mezid, also chayiv kares. Either one of them individually is chayiv kares, Rebbe would say. Okay. Reb Nosson Savar. Reb Nosson learns the pasuk differently. He says, v'chod olas as a pesach v'nichrasa. he says what the Pasuk is saying is, yeah, if the person fails to bring the Korban Pesach, then he gets Koris. But Dehai Ki, Loshen Dehahu. But he says then the word Ki in the Pasuk doesn't mean if, like Rebbe says, it means because. So, because he didn't bring Pesach Rishon in its first time, in the first time, therefore he's getting Kares. Because again, Reb Nosson had said, Reb Nosson had said that he's chayiv Kares for Pesach Rishon, but not for Pesach Sheni. Again, according to Reb Nosson, if he was shogeg on Pesach Rishon, even though he was mazed on Pesach Sheni, there's no Kares. He's only getting Kares if he's mazed on Pesach Rishon. So he's saying, because what the Pasuk is saying is, because he didn't end up bringing Pesach Sheni, therefore he's getting Kares for having this Pesach Rishon be mazed. Hi chete. So the question is, hi chete yisa my avodlay. Okay, what is he doing with the words chete yisa or ishahu at the end of the pasuk? So the answer is kasava megadif lav hainem avarach Hashem, because he says that the megadif where it tells us about kares is not the mevarach Hashem, rather a megadif is somebody who sings in honor of avodah zarah. Therefore, we don't have a source. Therefore, fakir, we wouldn't have a source to say that a mevorech has Hashem, that a person who curses Hashem gets kares, because where would we get it from? We can't say, like Rabbi Akiva says, not Rabbi Akiva, like Rebbe says, that we're learning from the Megadif, because Rebbe is saying the Megadif and the mevorech has Hashem is the same thing. Rabbi Nosson is saying they're not the same thing. So therefore, just because it says kares by Megadif doesn't mean that mevorech has Hashem gets kares. So fakir, he says, the gomer hai chete dehos and me hai chete dehoch. Fakir, what Rabbi Nosson does is he says, I agree there's a Gzeira Shava, but the Gzeira Shava goes in the opposite direction. Over here, it says, Chete Yisa Ishahu, as a continuation of the Pasuk before, as a continuation of the case, that he's getting Kores because he missed Pesach Rishon B'Mezid, because he missed Pesach Rishon B'Mezid. Has nothing to do with whether he misses Pesach Sheni, B'Shoigig or B'Mezid or whatever, as long, it strictly depends on Pesach Rishon being B'Mezid. And that's when, so the whole Pasuk is telling us that when does he get Kares? If he missed Pesach Rishon B'Mezid and then didn't bring Pesach Sheni. Whether it was B'Shoigig or B'Mezid or whatever. So now we say, so the Pasuk says B'Nichrasa, and it says Cheta Yisa Ishahu. Therefore, that tells us that such a person gets Kares, and then we learn from that to the Mevarach Hashem. Not like Rebbe said, it's the other way around. We learn from the Mevarach Hashem to the Korban Pesach. It's the other way around. Because we don't know yet that the Mevarach Hashem gets Kares. Now we learn it from here, since it says in our Pasuk, B'Nichrasa, and Cheta Yisa Ishahu, that tells us that the words Cheta Yisa mean Kares, and therefore that itself tells us by the Mevarach Hashem, by the one who curses Hashem, that he gets Kares. So therefore, Reb Nosson would say, that again, that's all one long case. Not like Rebbe, that it's two separate cases. One where he missed Pesach Rishon B'Mezid, and the other where he missed Pesach Sheni B'Mezid. Reb Nosson is saying that no, only when he missed Pesach Rishon B'Mezid, only then do we talk about what happens if he doesn't bring Pesach Sheni. But if he missed the first one B'Shoigig, then there's nothing to talk about. V'Reb Chananya ben Akavya Savar. Now, Reb Chananya ben Akavya holds like this. The Pasuk says, V'chodah lasas ha-Pesach. V'nichrasa. The Pasuk says that he fails to bring the Korban Pesach, then he gets Kares. That means, he holds like Rebbe that the word ki means if, but korban Hashem lahikir b'moyed b'sheni, if he didn't bring the korban of Hashem in its proper time in the second one. In other words, Reb Chanina agrees with Rebbe that the word ki means if, but he says it's not a separate statement. It's saying when does he get kares for Pesach Rishon only if he didn't bring the korban Pesach on the second one. So that's what brings Reb Chanina. So that's why Reb Chanina ben Akavya had said that. So he said that he's only chayev kares, even if he missed the first one, b'mezid, only if he doesn't bring the second one is he chayev kares. But if he brings the second one, then he's not chayev kares, even though he missed the first one, b'mezid. So he says, because that's what the Pasuk is telling us, if he failed to bring the first one, b'mezid, but he failed to bring the first one, b'mezid, only if he also fails to bring the second one, then he's b'mezid, then he's chayev kares. Reb Chananya ben Akavya says he needs to be b'mezid on both.
In the original case,
one second. Vahai chete yisa my oven. right? So what does Rav Hanani ben Akavya do with the words cheta yisa? So kedamaran, in that he holds, like Rav Nosson, that we use it to teach us that it's not needed, legufa, it's not needed to teach us over here about the Korban Pesach, because again, according to him, he's only chayiv koris, only if it was mazed on both. He says we're using it as a basis for Gzeira Shava to teach us that the Mevorach HaSashem gets koris, which otherwise we wouldn't have known. Okay, yeah, so what were you asking?
I was asking, in the original case that actually started this whole union of Pesach Sheni, that Hashem allowed Pesach Sheni, it was Beshogeg, it wasn't Bemezid. So why?
In that case, it wasn't Beshogeg. No, right. In that case, when they came to Moshe, it wasn't Beshogeg or Bemezid. If they actually wanted to bring the Korban Pesach, and Moshe told them you can't because you're Tamid. Right, but once we have.
So it was Beshogeg, they didn't know that.
No, it's not Beshogeg, because Beshogeg would be if they brought, Beshogeg would be if they didn't know that they, no, it's they hadn't brought the Korban Pesach yet, and they're asking for permission to bring the Korban Pesach, and Moshe tells them you can't. That's not Shogeg or Mezer, that's Onus. But, in any case, once we have Pesach Sheni, then we're saying it does apply as well to when a person missed the Pesach Rishon for any reason. But again, according to Rebbe, the fact that he was mazed and missed Pesach Rishon already, fine, he still has to bring Pesach Sheni. But nevertheless, he's still going to be Chayav Koris. According to Rashi in the Gemara over here, even if he ended up bringing Pesach Sheni, he's still Chayav Koris because he missed the first one of mazed. According to the Rambam, no, because in the end he did bring Pesach Sheni. So Rebbe is going to agree at least that exists. Him. But the point is, if let's say he didn't bring Pesach Sheni because of a shogeg or an onus or whatever, Rebbe would hold his chayiv koris. Rav Nosson would hold. We said that he's chayiv koris only if he's chayiv koris only for the first one. He's potter for the second one. So therefore, Rav Nosson would say if he failed to bring the second one, then he's not getting koris because only because he's only chayiv koris. Well, rather, Rav Nosson would say in that case where he was mazed on the way he was mazed on the first one, then yeah, he's chayiv koris. But if it was shogeg on the first one, even though he was mazed on the second one, Rav Nosson is going to pater him. Rebbe would be mechayiv him. Rav Hanani ben Akavya would pater him in both cases because he says only if he's mazed on both. But yeah, ultimately, even though the original example involves oinus, nevertheless, once we have that, we have Pesach Sheni can apply to a person who missed the Pesach Rishon for any reason. So, but now the question is, when he's chayiv koris,
where do you get that from?
Because we get that because the Torah tells us ish ki a person didn't bring the Korban Pesach, and now you have the Torah is telling us that the pasuk goes on to say ki Korban Hashem lehikir b'mayadai. All three Tanoim over here are agreeing that lehikir Korban Hashem lehikir b'mayadai means Pesach Sheni. The question is it saying a separate statement that he's chayiv koris separately for Pesach Sheni, or is it saying he's chayiv koris only if he missed the first one and didn't bring the second one? Or are we saying he's chayiv koris only if he missed both of them b'mezid? But there's definitely the fact that he could bring the Korban Pesach even though he missed the first one b'mezid. So the Gemara summarizes. Hilkach. So therefore, the bottom line is as follows. Hizid b'zeh o'b'zeh divrei ha-kochayiv. If he missed both of them b'mezid, everybody agrees he's chayiv. Shogeg b'zeh o'b'zeh divrei ha-kopotu. If it was shogeg on both of them, and by shogeg we mean everything else, oynes and so forth as well, then everybody agrees he's potter. Hizid b'rishon b'shogeg b'sheni. If he missed the first one, b'mezid, and the second one, b'shogeg, l'Rebbe or Rav Nosson b'chayvi, Rebbe and Rav Nosson will say he's chayev, because they hold, again, that Rebbe holds the second one is a regal b'fnei atzmo. Rav Nosson holds that it's not regal b'fnei atzmo, it's tashlum and derishon, but it's not takanta derishon, so therefore bringing Pesach Sheni doesn't help him. Rav Nosson is still going to be mechayev him kores because he missed the first one b'mezid, and Rebbe is going to also be mechayev him because he holds that he's chayev whichever one he misses b'mezid. So go ahead and bring the second one, but Rav Nosson is going to hold. Well, in the Gemara over here, we're talking about where he was shogeg on the second one. So it comes out though, according to Rashi's way of understanding Rav Nosson is the fact that he brought the second one and according to Rebbe for that matter also, the fact that he brought the second one, it helps. Okay, he was yotze to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, but he's still chayav koris for missing the first one. Amazing. The Rambam would hold that no, once he brought it, then fine, that takes away the koris. Only if he was shogeg and didn't end up bringing the second one for whatever reason, then he's still chayav koris for having missed the first one. Amazing. But Rav Hanani ben Akavya potter, according to Rav Hanani ben Akavya, he's potter because he wasn't mazed on both of them. and the other way around, Shogeg B'Rishon B'Hizid B'Sheni. If he missed the first one B'Shogeg and the second one B'Mezid, the Rebbe Chayev, Rebbe would still say he's Chayev because he holds Pesach Sheni is a Yomtov of its own and has a Chiyuv of its own, and therefore, even though he didn't bring the first one B'Shogeg, okay, he's not Chayev Kares for the first one, obviously, but he could have brought the second one, and he didn't do it B'Mezid, therefore he's Chayev Kares for that alone. L'Rav Nassan, L'Rav Chanan, and Akavi Potter, and according to the other two Tanoim, he's Potter because according to Rav Nassan, he's Chayev Kares only for missing the first one B'Mezid, and according to Rav Chananim and Akabi, he's only Chayev Kares for missing both of them B'Mezid. Yeah. Okay. The Rambam passes like Rebbe, because we have a usual rule, halacha k'Rebbe mechaveroi, so therefore that's the result is that the person is Chayev Kares individually for each one, with the exception, again, that Rebbe will say that if you did end up bringing Pesach Sheni, then fine, he's Potter from Kares, even though he missed the first one B'Mezid, and the Rambam also paskins, as far as what we said before about the Gershon is Gaya and the Cotton, and then the Cotton Shehigil, that yes, they are Chayev and Pesach Sheni in the case of the Cotton, if he wasn't joined in a Pesach Rishon. If he was joined as father's Pesach Rishon, then he's Potter from Pesach Sheni. You don't eat two Psachim in one year. But if he didn't, then he's Chayev and Pesach Sheni. Even though he's Cotton by one, but because Rebbe holds that each one is a Yom Tov Ratzonia. So according to Rebbe, he is Chayev and Pesach Sheni. That's the point. No, because even Rebbe agrees that if he ate Pesach Rishon, then he's part of Pesach Sheni. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Ezi derech rechoika. What is the definition of a derech rechoika for this purpose? Mina medim v'lachutz. Any place further out from Modi'im, which is a city in Eretz Yisrael, nowadays you have the city of Modi'in, very likely is in the same place, or Chmidasa l'chol ruach, and the same distance in every direction, Dibre Rav Akiva. So if he's any further than that, then he's considered on a derech rechoika. Why are we picking Davka Modi'im? We'll see in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer says it doesn't have to be that. Even if he's just outside the threshold of the Azara, then he's considered Derech HaChoyka. In other words, Rashi says later on, it means like, we don't tell him, you must come in and bring the Korban Pesach. He's Potter, because the fact is he's not in the Azara right now. So he has the option, therefore, bringing Pesach Sheni. The Rambam understands it a little bit differently. That the vote is, let's say he's in Yerushalayim, but he can't make it there because he's sick, for example. So then he's still considered derech rechoika, according to Rav Akiva, we would consider him, he's not derech rechoika, he's onus, which we said the distinction was before. Again, the Rambam learned the previous Mishnah as saying that only the Tomei and the derech rechoika are potter from Kares, if they miss the first one. Everybody else, so in other words, they're potter from Kares even if they end up missing the second one, because at least they, because the Torah gave them an exemption for the first one. All the other ones is only implicit that they have an exemption. So therefore, if they miss the second one, Memezid Dechayiv Kares. So that would be the case over here. He'd be an onus if he's outside the Azara and can't make it in because he's sick, but he still has to make sure to bring the Korban, bring Pesach Sheni and not to miss it, Memezid. No, but that's the point. In other words, so we're saying as long as he's not in the Azara yet, he can still be considered b'derech rechoika. So therefore, it doesn't mean he can't come closer. The point is also according to Rabbi Akiva, the person is in Modi'im. He can make it to Yerushalayim by the time of the Shechita. If he doesn't, he's not considered b'derech rechoika. According to Rabbi Eliezer, just the fact that he's outside the Azara is enough to make him considered b'derech rechoika if he can't or won't make it in for whatever reason. As he points out, in fact, that's why if you look in the pasuk when it says v'derech rechoika, if you look in a sefer Torah, you have a dot over the letter hey, loimar, and that whenever you have a dot over a letter, it tells you to darshin as if the letter wasn't there. Loimar, it doesn't mean that he's really far away. It just means that he's outside the threshold of the azara. One point is that the mafoshim explain. So Rashi explains it means as if you take away the whole word. So therefore, it's as if it just said b'derech without the word rechoika. So just he's on a way outside the Azara. A different explanation is that the vote is taking away the hay turns it from derech rechoika, a far way, to derech rechoik, that he is far. And therefore, it can mean even he's outside the Azara, he's still far in the sense. You have to think of it. For example, as far as the dinim of shchotei chutz, for example, a person shechts a korban outside the azara, they're chayev kares. It doesn't matter whether they're on the other side of the world or whether they're right outside the azara. Either way, they're considered far away from the azara and they're chayev kares. So we see, in other words, that a person can be right outside the azara and they're still considered far. I just say most of the dikavort on this. You see how one step can make a huge difference for a person, right? Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Oma Ola, min ha-Moedim le-Yerushalayim chamisha asar milin. The distance between Moedim and Yerushalayim is 15 mil. Now, an interesting point, actually, in that is that the modern-day city of Modi'in, which is more or less, according to many researchers, is more or less in the same place as ancient Modi'in, is a lot more than usually a mil. We usually say is a tom shabbos, 2,000 amos. So that would mean that in modern terms, where we talked about the other day about the shiurim, about the Rav Chaim Nov versus the Chazon Ish, but even a Chazon Ish mil is about 8/10 of a mile. And multiply that by 15, then you've got about 12 miles. Modern Modi'in is much further than that. So what does that mean? So one possibility, of course, is that modern Modi'in is not where Modi'in of Or Gemara is. Maybe Modi'in of Or Gemara is someplace closer to Yerushalayim. But another interesting point that I saw, somebody wrote a whole thing about this, arguing that maybe a mil in the Gemara, at least in some places, is not actually 2,000 amos, but more than that. They want to argue that it's closer to Lahavdil, a Roman mile, which is about 9/10 of an American mile. So therefore, so it would actually work out. If you measure the road distance, it does come out approximately correct. Maybe. I mean, the fact is, another point that they make is later on, the Gemara slugs up Ula. The question is, are we slugging them up completely and saying, therefore, that Modi'im is not necessarily only 15 mil from Yerushalayim, or are we only slugging up a certain part of what he says? Okay. Anyway. So he says, Mina Modi'im Yerushalayim chamisha also mil and hadi. It's 15 mil from Modi'im to Yerushalayim. How did he get that? He holds like this. We know that Rabbi Baba Chana tells us in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Kama Mahalach Adam Bayoim, what's the amount the average person can walk in a day, is Asara Parsas, 10 Parsa. A Parsa is, according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, about 2.5 miles, according to the Chazon Ish, about 3 miles. So 10 times that is the amount an average person can walk in a day. So you're talking, according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, you're talking around 24, 25 miles. And according to the Chazon Ish, you're talking about 30 miles. So, now, all of figures like this. Now, when we say Bayoim, means from Aloysa Shachar till Tzeisa Kechavim. Because for most purposes in Halacha, we consider the day to begin at Aloysa Shachar and to end at Tzeisa Kechavim. For certain purposes, we say it goes from Netz until Shkia, but for many purposes, we say it goes from Alois until Tzeisa Kechavim. So all of us figuring, we're using that definition. Therefore, from Alois until Netz is the amount of time it would take to walk 5 milim, which we're going to revisit that later in the Gemara and see whether that's correct. From Shkia until Tzeis is also 5 milim. So therefore, so now subtracting that and working now from Netzachama until Chatzos, and then from Chatzos until Shkia, so you have Mitzafra Lepaugadi, Hamesa Mitzafra Lepaugadi, you're able to walk then 15 mil from, you're able to walk 15 mil from Netzachama until Chatzos, but Hamesa Mitzafra Yemela Uta, and another 15 from Chatzos until Shkia. And Ula Latimei, Ula is going according to his Svara, the Amma Ula, Ezu, Derech HaChoyka. What is the definition of a Derech HaChoyka? Kol She'eni Yochal Likonis, B'Shas Shechita, when the person is not going to be able to get into the Beis Mikdash by the time the end of the Shechita is over. Now, the end of the time of Shechita is Shkia. Therefore, it has to be that he's there by Shkia. So Rashi explains what we're doing is like this. Ula is calculating like this. The definition of Derech HaChoyka is that he's at the beginning, at the earliest time when the Korban Pesach could be shechted, he's too far away to be able to reach it there by Shkia. Now, in principle, now we said, we learned previously that the earliest the Korban Pesach has ever shechted is half an hour after Chatzos. But that's not because it has to be. That's just because practically they couldn't tell earlier than that that it's after Chatzos yet. But in principle, if you had an accurate clock, then you could shecht the Korban Pesach right after Chatzos. From Chatzos until Shkia is 6 Shoyes Manias. And this in time, the Shoyes Manias are about 60 minutes. So therefore, you come out, therefore, that so if he starts walking from Modi'im to Yerushalayim at Chatzos, then he will reach there at exactly Shkia, or like a minute before Shkia, and that's just enough time to be able to shecht the Korban Pesach. Therefore, he's not considered Derech HaChoyka. If he's any further away, then he's not going to make it there in time, and therefore it's considered Derech HaChoyka. Doesn't matter. No, so we're talking about just straight walking. And the Rambam actually has a different definition of it. The Rambam phrases it that the 15 mil we're talking about is the amount of time if he started walking at Netzachama of Erev Pesach, that he would reach the Beis HaMikdash by Chatzos, which again is the earliest time for Shechting the Korban Pesach. So instead of from Chatzos to Shkiel, like Rashi says it, the Rambam puts it as from morning until Chatzos. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same 6 hours. Just when to when do you count it? Right. Anyway, so the point is, so according to Ullah, you have to make it there during the time of Shchita. According to Rashi, means by the end of the time of Shchita. According to the Rambam, by the beginning of the time of Shchita. So therefore, if you're more than 15 mil away, then Ullah figures you're not going to be able to make it based on the figures that we're giving. You're not going to be able to walk. Now, the Rambam also mentions a point. The Rambam says, Kshiyahalach benachas, when he's walking at a normal pace. Now, obviously, a person could run and make it faster. We're going to discuss that point tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But right now, we're talking when he's walking at a normal pace. By the way, so first of all, this sugya, and we're gonna continue the sugya tomorrow, Bez Hashem, but this sugya is one of the major sources, one of the major sugyas that talk about Zmanei Hayom, how we figure out when Alois HaShachar is and when Seis HaKachavim is, relative to Netz and relative to Shkia. Or Gemara is one of the major ones that bears on it, and we're going to continue tomorrow analyzing it. Also, Or Gemara is one of the major sources for figuring out what it, when we say, for example, we learned earlier in the Masechta that dough becomes chametz after the amount of time it takes to walk a mil. How long does it take to walk a mil? So that, depending on the different ways, we learn all Gemara over here. For example, if we take what we're saying here in the Gemara at face value, that in 6 hours a person can walk 15 mil, 6 hours is 360 minutes. So that would mean, therefore, a person takes 24 minutes to walk a mil, and there is such an opinion among Rishonim that it takes 24 minutes. On the other hand, you have, the Gemara is going to talk about later on other possibilities of how we calculate the amount of time and the distance, and based on those, you have other figures, 18 minutes or 22 and a half minutes to walk a mil. Yeah. Okay. So, Omamar, Me'alois HaShachar, Anetzachama, Chameshus Milin. So, Ullah is saying that it takes the distance of 5 mil to walk. You could walk the distance of 5 mil from Alois HaShachar until Tzeisek Chavim, until Netzachama. And you consider also, for example, if you say a mil is 24 minutes, then 5 times that would be 120 minutes. Would be that Alois HaShachar, therefore, would be 2 hours before Netzachama. And most of the poskim say, by the way, these amounts that it says in the Gemara are meant for the time, are meant in Eretz Yisrael around Nisan and Tishrei time. Other in other times of the year in Eretz Yisrael and in other places further north of it or further south of Eretz Yisrael, it would be different. So yeah. So again, you know, you have in many calendars, you have, they calculate Alois HaShachar as 72 minutes before Netzachama. That's based on taking, so it's not a fixed 72 minutes. Again, it depends on the angle of the sun below the horizon, whatever. But the point is, that's arrived at by taking a mil of 18 minutes, which again, you have such an opinion. We use that as far as chametz, for example, multiplying it by 4 rather than Or Gemara is saying 5, because we're going to get to that later about whether it's 4 or 5. But right now, Ullah is saying that it's 5. So like this. So, 4 mil versus 5 mil. Yeah. So Omamam, Alois HaShachar, Anetzachama, Chameshes Milin. So Ullah is saying it's 5 mil, which on the face of it would be anywhere between, again, if a mil is 18 minutes, then that would be 90 minutes. If a mil is 24 minutes, it would be 120 minutes. From then until from Alois HaShachar until Netzachama is that distance. Menolon, where does Ullah get that from? So just give, Uchamoy HaShachar Ullah, the Pasuk says that when dawn was breaking, then the Malachim started hurrying up Lot and his family and telling them, get out of Sodom before it's destroyed. Then a few psukim later, it says, Hashemesh Yotza Al Haaretz, the sun had come out on the earth, meaning that it was a Netzachama already. The Lot bought Soyara, when Lot had arrived at Soyar. So we see, in other words, the distance from when they left Sodom until they reached Soyar is the time from Alois HaShachar until Netz. But Amr Rav Chanina, L'didi Chazi Liahu Asra, Rav Chanina says, I saw that area where Sodom used to be and where Tzoyah used to be, v'havya chamisha milin, and it was a distance of 5 milin. So therefore, that tells us that it's 5 mil from Alois HaShachar until Netzachah. So we're going to talk about that later, that by your itzur shiny, it's different when they're hurrying them up. We'll get to that later, yeah. Okay. So now, Gufa, so getting back, so that part, as far as the measurements, we're going to get back to tomorrow. Meanwhile, we're first going to deal with the fact that we said Ula was basing himself on the idea that the person has to be in the Azara at the time of the Shechita. It has to be able to be in the Azara at the time of the Shechita in order not to be considered B'derech HaKhayt. So Oma Gufa, so getting back to, we said, Oma Ula, Ezo Derech HaKhayka, we said that the definition of a Derech HaKhayka is Kosh Eni Yochal Likonis B'Shas Shechita, if you can't get there during the time of the Shechita, by the end of the time of the Shechita according to Rashi, for counting from Chatzos until Shechita, or by the beginning of the time of Shechita according to the Rambam, counting from Netz until Chatzos. Rav Yehuda, I'm a kosher any yochal lukanis b'shas achila. Rav Yehuda says no. He's considered a derech achoika only if he's further away. He's not going to be able to make it by the time it's the end of the time of the eating the korban pesach. Now that you have, in other words, so you have a machloikas at the end of our mesechta whether midaraisa you're allowed to eat the korban pesach all night and only midrabanan you're limited until chatzos, or is it according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah daraisi you only eat it until chatzos? Whatever the case. According to Rav Yehuda, if the person is so far away that he's not going to make it there, even during the time you're eating it, then we're saying he's on a derech achoika. Tosfos actually asked the question. I mean, let's just find where Medium is, and we can measure, and then we can see how long it's going to take them to get. So Tosfos says, first of all, the roads are not always clear. Sometimes you have the Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah that sometimes you have straight roads that then were blocked off, and you end up having to take a detour. So that's it. Not because the Romans blocked them off, or because whatever. Yeah. also, Tosfos points out that Rabbi Akiva, we know, holds the Tchumen Adaraisa. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on a Daraisa level, you could only reach from Medim until the Tchum of Yerushalayim, and then you only have, and then you have to be there. In other words, Drabbanan, obviously, you can't walk beyond the Tchum even, you can't walk beyond the Tchum anyway. But according to everybody else, not according to Rabbi Akiva, that Tchumen are only Drabbanan, you can't call him on a Derech HaKhoika because he can't come because of Tchumen Drabbanan, because Daraisa, he would have been able to come. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the vote would be, in other words, that the maximum distance he could be is an extra 2,000 amas away to allow him to be able to walk, that he just reaches inside the Tchum of Yerushalayim before Shtia. But, and then he has another 2,000 amas to walk. So there's not really a large difference. We're not saying, in other words, that he's first going to show up a minute to Chatzos. We're talking about he's going to show up an hour or two after Shtia, after walking that last 2,000 amas. Okay. Anyway, so Amalei Rabba L'Ula. So Rabba points out to Ula, L'didoch Kasha Ula Rav Yehuda Kasha. When you get down to it, you have a Kasha on your opinion, and you have a Kasha on Ula's opinion. And you have a Kasha on Rav Yehuda's opinion. L'didoch Kasha, according to you, the question is, the Amrit Kosha Eni Yochal Likonis B'Shas Shechita. You're saying the person has to be able to make it into the Azara by the time of the Shechita. What do you mean? V'hot Tmei Sheretz Eni Yochal Likonis B'Shas Shechita. But you have the case of a person who is Tomei from a Sheretz. He can't go into the Azara because he's Tomei. V'kamat Sheretz and Rezek and Al Tmei Sheretz. And Daf Tzadik, we said that Ula Davka was the one who held you could bring the Korban Pesach on his behalf. So you're being, so you see, you're contradicting yourself. By the Tomei Sheretz, by the time it comes the night, he's going to be able to eat it. Fine, this person also, by the time the night comes, he's going to be in Yerushalayim. But Ula's saying he's still considered B'derech HaKhoika, because he's not going to make it there by Shkia. So then it's a Stira. And Ula of Yehuda Kasher, Dama Kol She'en Yochal Likonis B'Shas Achila, according to Rav Yehuda, is the opposite. He says that if he can't make it there by the time of eating, is he considered Derech HaKhoika? Well, V'hot Tmei Sheretz Yochal Likonis B'Shas Achila, but a Tmei Sheretz is able, by the time it comes time for eating the Korban Pesach, he's able to do that, because he's going to be Tahor by that night. V'koma in Shech, the Mishok and Al Tmei Sheretz. Rav Yehuda is the one who said in the name of Rav that you can't Shech the Korban Pesach for the Tmei Sheretz. So both you, so Rabba says to Ula, both you and Rabbi Yehuda seem to be contradicting yourselves. Amalei, so he answers him, loy lididi kasha, v'loy lirabbi Yehuda kasha. There's no contradiction on either of us. Lididi lo kasha, because derech hachoyka la tahor vein derech hachoyka la tami. We only say that this concept of derech hachoyka only applies for a person who's tahor. It doesn't apply to the person who's tami. The tami person, it has nothing to do how far away he is. The fact of the matter is, he could have sent his korban with somebody else, and nevertheless, the Torah tells him not to. So therefore, so this whole concept of derech hachoika, yeah, there's a difference. In other words, the tmei sheretz, he could send it with somebody else. Therefore, we allow him to do that according to me. But over here, he's derech hachoika. So the Torah is telling us, as long as he can't get in there by shechita, then yes, he can get there by achila. Nevertheless, the Torah passes him. The tomei, the Torah never says anything about derech hachoika. It says that he's tomei. What's the problem if he's tomei? Is because he can't eat it. And once he can eat it, then there's no problem. So therefore, so there's no contradiction as far as that. Rav Yehuda like Kasha, and according to Rav Yehuda, there's no question, because Tomei Sheretz Rachmona Dachi, Rav Yehuda would say that the Tomei Sheretz, the Torah pushes him off. Like we said before, that even if he wants to send it with somebody else, he can't, because even if it's on the seventh day, as we said the other day, that when it says that he Tomei LeNefesh, means even if it's seventh day is Erev Pesach, even then we're not allowed him to bring the Korban Pesach, even though that night he's going to be Torah already. Nevertheless, the Torah tells us we push him off the Pesach Sheni. So we see, in other words, that even though he's only Tomei for the one day, nevertheless, the Torah pushes him off. So therefore, that's why he says that a Tomei Sheretz, you don't bring the Korban on his behalf. But a Derech Rechoika doesn't say any such thing. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda can say that Derech Rechoika is fine as long as he can make it there by the time he can eat. Either Tomei also by the time he can eat. Xeris HaKosov that he can't because he's not Tohar at the time of, at the time of Shechita. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with this discussion about the person who's on Derech HaChoika, and in that connection, then we're going to revisit this that Ula said about Merdiyim being 15 mil away, and about the amount of time, about the distance that a person can walk in a certain amount of time. We're going to revisit that, and that's going to bring us into a discussion of Zmanei Hayoim, and a discussion about astronomy. It's going to be tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Back, everyone.